West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Morning Session 2, Message 4. Taking up the leadership on campus to gain people for the church. Scripture reading, Daniel 11:32, Acts 1:14, Philippians 1:27, and Haggai 1:8.
We come to the line of the Gospel on Campus, Message 4, taking up the leadership on campus to gain people for the church.
Amen.
So you can turn to there and do your clicking, if you'd like. Okay, so this, how about we all read the title of this together, once you find it? Okay, let's go. Taking up the leadership on campus to gain people for the church. Amen. Okay, so... This line of speaking is on the gospel on the campus, and it's to give practical helps how you are to bear fruit on the campus. First, to infuse you with a burden that you need to bear fruit. This is the best time to bear fruit. These are the best ones to gain, right? The college students are the best ones to gain for the Lord's recovery. Okay, then practically, once you have this burden, what should you do? Right? How do you go on? How do you bear fruit, right? So this is to give you some practical help in this regard. How about we all read Roman numeral 1 together? The Lord's up-to-date economy is to gain young people for His recovery. We must pray to be burdened with this commission. Okay, the Lord's up-to-date economy is what? To gain young people. Okay, the Lord's up-to-date economy right now. What is the Lord doing right now? He wants to gain young people for His recovery, for the building up of the church as the body of Christ, so He can end this age and come back. This is what the Lord is doing today. And to do this, to turn the age, the Lord always needs young people. So we need to gain young people. And these young people are on the campuses, which is, fortunately for you, this is where you are. You are a blessed group of people. You've been put right here, in the right place, at the right time. Right, you are there on the campus with these young people that the Lord needs. Okay, so hopefully you have some burden, right? It says we must pray to be burdened with this commission. If you don't have a burden to gain young people on your campus, we need to pray.
Amen.
Right, if you have a burden, we need to pray.
Amen.
Okay, if you, from my experience, I'd say if we stop praying for this, if we stop meeting and praying, the burden disappears. Usually very quickly, a few days, a week, and you feel, oh, I don't want to contact people. Oh, I don't want to, it's so much work to shepherd, to phone people. But if you're praying, right, when you come here to the college training, we're praying all the time. We're calling on the Lord. We're fellowshipping. And the burden is here. I think you all probably feel some, right? You have some burden to preach the gospel, to gain these young people, to speak about our lovely Lord Jesus. But we need to pray to be burdened. When you go out of this atmosphere, this can dissipate very quickly. So in order to maintain this, in order to maintain your burden, we need to pray. So I really enjoyed these words. We must pray to be burdened. Not just pray, Lord, burden me, but also just pray to maintain the burden. Okay, we need to pray to be burdened with this commission. But if you're like me, then you'll find praying is very difficult. I was keeping records of my personal prayer, and it was terrible. I think I prayed like, I had my contact list, and I prayed like 10 times in one semester for my contacts. I was like, that's less than once a week, right? And so I was like, Lord, I can't do this, right? I can't pray. How do I pray to be burdened for these ones? I have these names, and I'm praying for them, but you know what I need? I need a companion, right? I need someone to pray with. I need a group that's with me to pray for my companions. Pray for these nameless. So this brings us to Roman numeral 2. How about we all read this together with an exercise spirit? The only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing gospel work on any college campus is to form a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on that campus. This is the only way. We can do all sorts of gospel work on the campus, but the only way to carry out a dynamic, powerful, and prevailing work. Do we want our work to be weak and insipid? No, we want our work to be dynamic.
Amen.
powerful, prevailing, right? And in order to do this, we need to have a nucleus. We need to form a nucleus of students that can take up the leadership on the campus. There must be students. If everyone is an old guy like me on the campus, it's very hard. The freshmen come and they see me and they're like, are you a professor? I mean, they ask me that all the time, right? Are you a professor? I'm like, no, I'm not a professor. We need the young faces. We need the students, right? Really. You right now are the best ones. The best ones to speak. You have friends. You have ones you're burdened for. You when you speak, they will listen. So in a few minutes, I'll call up some students to speak so that you listen, right? Because really, to have a prevailing, dynamic work, you need to have the students. So we need to have this nucleus of students, not just a bunch of scattered individual students. They need to be blent together into a nucleus so that there's one unit, one entity with impact. This is how we have a prevailing work on the campus. Okay, so Roman numeral A, or letter A, says, the saints who attend a given school or college should first come together, fellowship, and fan one another's spirit into flame. I don't know how many of you have a coordination time with the students on your campus. Most of you have one. How about you raise your hand? Let's see. This is very good. Maybe more than half has some sort of coordination, student coordination on your campus. This is good. You should come together. The students on your campus should come together. If there's only one of you, then get some students from somewhere else or get some saints. Come together and pray and fellowship about your burden for this campus. And the first thing you should do is what? Fellowship. Fan one another's spirit into flame. So when you come together, call on the Lord, right? Exercise, sing, pray, praise the Lord, get into the ministry, fan one another into flame. When we're here in the college training, we are fanning one another into flame, right? When we come and we sing, right? We have a prevailing atmosphere and we're fanning one another's spirit into flame. This is the same thing we need to do in our nucleus, in our group on the campus. This is the first thing. First, we have to have the fire burning. We have to be revived. Amen. We have to be enlivened. Amen. We have to be people full of life. Amen. And this happens not just by sitting at home on your couch praying, Lord, enliven me. This happens by getting together with the students, Amen. Getting together with one another and fanning one another's spirits into flame. Amen. Okay, so how about we read B together? We should always go on with the nucleus. We should never go on independently. Never go on independently. Independently, we die. This is my experience. You try to do something by yourself. I'm strong. You can't. I can't. And so I assume you can't. Right? Never go on independently. Even if we did something independently, it would not be in the principle of the body. In order to be in the principle of the body, we need to be together. At least two. Twos or threes. Okay? And if you have a nucleus, maybe it's more than twos or threes. Maybe you have several twos and threes coming together. Okay. Number one says, we should always pray together. The primary matter that we should attend to is prayer. When we come together as a group, when we come together with the other students, the primary matter we should attend to is prayer. Okay, so always, always, when you come together, pray together. We have to get to the Spirit. We should always fellowship with one another. We should always make decisions as a nucleus. Okay, so when you come in your student coordination, I don't know what you do or how you have it, but maybe it's kind of like you come together, you sing a song, you pray a little bit, everyone's kind of tired, then you say, well, we have a gospel meeting coming up or a welcome dinner, we need to plan who's going to bring food, who's going to bring this, and then you sort it out and then you all go home. We need to learn to do everything together as a nucleus. And one of the things, the key things, is we're burdened for people. I would say in your time together, when you have a fellowship time with your nucleus, with your group of students you're with, pray for one another. If you're feeling down, open up. Say, look, saints, I'm just really tired today. Right? Or say, I have a problem. I have this friend on campus. I have this friend, John, and he needs to get saved. I don't know how to do this. Right? If you say this is fellowship. To open up, say, I need help. This is fellowship. Right? So we should always be there. We should be fellowshipping, praying over people. Our primary business, we want to gain young people. So when we come together, focus your prayer, your fellowship. Have a lot of emphasis on taking care of the people, right? Taking care of one another, praying for one another's needs, and also praying for your new ones and your contacts. Okay, in our preaching of the gospel, people must be fully impressed that we are in one spirit and with one soul, Nothing is more convincing than this. If we have the one accord, this is where the impact is. If you have a group where you're loving one another, praying for one another, caring for one another, you're all in one accord, when you bring a friend to this, they will love it. They'll say, I want to be with these guys. I want to be with the happy people. Right? I want to be with these ones that are loving one another, where there's a group where I belong. Right? This one accord is so attracting and so prevailing. Maybe we could have Patrick come up and speak a little bit about having a nucleus of students on the campus.
So I'd like to share about our experience. Body of Christ.
Amen. So far we've heard so many wonderful messages about this line on the gospel on campus. But, oh Lord Jesus, have you guys enjoyed these messages?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going into my fourth year, and I found that the most practical way to apply these messages is to get into the nuclei. And the nuclei are a group of students coming together who are burdened, they're vital, and they're in oneness. And they have the view that they need to multiply. And I was impressed that the outline even says that the only way to carry out a prevailing work of the gospel on the campus is to get into the nuclei. So I'm going to share a little bit about my experience. And I'm going to bring out three main points. And the first one is that we need to come together. So after one college training in 2009, the Lord sovereignly arranged for me to be paired up with my dear vital companion over there. And we began meeting together on the campus. And then we joined with another set of vital brothers, and we came together. So I want to encourage all the students, if you don't have many brothers or sisters on campus, just get with the ones that are around you. And if you're the only one on campus, then you need to pray. Pray for someone to come and be your vital companion. So over time, we just began to grow in number. And eventually, we joined with the sisters' nuclei group. And then we joined together. And we have around 15 to 20 that are meeting weekly now. And I also want to share about a negative experience that we had that we can all learn from. During one of the terms, somehow the brothers' nuclei couldn't work out a time to meet together. And we found that was not the way to go on with the gospel. So the next term, We got together on Doodle, and we put together our schedules, and we found a time to meet together. Amen. And this was very good. Now, for what we need to do in this time, there's no rules or anything, but first of all, I enjoyed what our brother said, we need to fan our spirits into flame. Amen. So that's the second point that I want to bring out. We need to go on in a corporate way. And I enjoyed this verse in Acts 2:14, where it says that Peter, on the day of Pentecost, you know, previously Peter would say a lot of nonsensical things. But on this day, it says in this verse that he stood with the 11, right? He was changed from an individual person to a corporate one. So we need to go on in the corporate way. Our enemy, Satan, is very subtle. He'll want us to go on in an individualistic way. The saints, we don't need to go on this way. We need to go on in the corporate way. So first of all, I think letter A in your outline says that we need to pray. This is the primary matter. And a quote from Watchman Nee says, Why do we work so much and pray so little when prayer accomplishes so much more? So that's one of the primary things we did in our nuclei time, that we just got together to pray, to sing hymns, to enjoy the Lord, to fan our spirits into flame, and also to get into the ministry. And the next point is that the matter of fellowship. I enjoyed what our brother brought out, that fellowship means I need help. It's to admit our need for the body. We don't have to go on bearing these burdens on our own. But if we come to a certain situation and we don't know how to take care of a certain gospel contact, we can bring it up for fellowship. And the third matter is the matter of decisions. After we've enjoyed the Lord together, it will be so easy to make decisions, whether it be planning welcome dinners or, you know, freshman events. It'll be so easy if first we touch the Lord. And then the third matter that I want to bring out is the matter of the gospel. And I'll share just three quick stories from our brother's nuclei time. So the first one is about a dear brother named David. David was saved through our nuclei, and he would even come to campus. Even though he didn't have class, he would drive 30 minutes just to spend with us brothers on campus to enjoy the Lord. So that's one story. The second story is about a brother named Philip. And he came, he was a new one, and he came to our nuclei time. And when we were singing, one time he just broke down in tears because he didn't have the assurance of salvation. He thought salvation could be taken away from him. But through this time, we were able to shepherd him. And now he has the assurance of salvation. And the third one, it's about a very dear brother named Clarence. And Clarence, he first came into contact with a full-timer and some other students. He began meeting with them. And then he began joining our student coordinations. And now he's fully into the church life. He's even prophesying on Lord's Day, even more than me. Oh, Lord. So I just want to conclude that our gaining of the people on the campus is not just for ourselves, but we need to see that this is for the church, the building up of the church. So we need to come together, we need to enjoy the Lord, and we need to bear fruit. And I just want to end with a verse in Daniel 11:32. It says, "And the people who know their God will show strength and take action." So saints, have you known your God more during this college training?
Amen.
Now it's time to go to our campuses to show strength and take action.
Amen. Oh, Jesus. Amen. We know our God. We show strength and we take action. I'd just like to begin this part of the second half of this message by quickly reviewing all the titles of the previous messages. The first one being seizing the opportunity to preach the gospel through the unique way of love. And it's just so sweet. The way we take is not the way of arguing or debating, but the way of loving, right? We love the Lord and we love the sinners. And then the next one is the interceding in twos and threes and persevering in prayer. The third one, living a shepherding life by ministering Christ to others in love. And then the first half of this was taking up the leadership on the campus. Now we come to Roman numeral 3. Maybe we can all read this together in an exercise spirit. The purpose of our labor on the campus is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Our campus labor has a definite purpose.
Amen.
Right? On one hand, we want to love man. We want to get together with our twos and threes and pray for them. We want to shepherd them, bring them to the Lord. But our ultimate goal is to shepherd them all the way into the church. Haggai, on your outline is Haggai 1:8. I appreciate this verse. It says, "Go up. Go up to the mountain."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go up to your campus and bring wood and build the house.
Amen.
So the ones we're contacting, they are materials, precious materials for the building of God's house. And I really was refreshed by the second half of this verse. This is the Lord speaking, "And I will take pleasure in it."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Whenever we're building the church, the Lord takes pleasure in it.
Amen.
"I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified," says Jehovah. So we realize we need to gain man and we need to save man, right? But God's eternal purpose is to have His church. Hallelujah. God wants to have the church, so He needs many sinners, right? Many sinners who are turned into these men of God. Point A says God's eternal purpose is to have the church. We have to preach and minister Christ to people with the building up of the church in view. So Paul was one who spent much time preaching Christ and ministering Christ, but his view was the church, right? His view was not, "I want to build up my work. I just want to have something prevailing, dynamic, and powerful in this city or this campus," right? But Paul's view, his person, was really for the church. His person was in the church, right? And his burden was to bring people all the way into the church. So we may say, yes, I'm for the church, right? But practically, in our experience, what does this mean? Point B says we should regularly attend and function in the meetings of the church. And the meetings of the church include the Lord's table meeting, the prayer meeting, and the prophesying meeting. In Acts, it says they continued steadfastly, right? That doesn't mean we just show up whenever we feel like it. We continue steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. And in 1 Corinthians, it says whenever we come together, each one has. So if we come to the prayer meeting, we don't just sit there, right? If we come to the Lord's Day meeting, we pray, we prophesy, right? So we come in a regular way and we come in a functioning way. So actually that means the ones that we gain, the ones that we're shepherding, you know, as it was mentioned before, I think Stephen mentioned that quote, right? That don't be too concerned if they don't listen to what you say, but be concerned that they do what you do, right? So actually, we could even speak a lot about the church, but if our person is in the church, right? Our person is in the church life, going on in a good way, spontaneously, they'll just follow you right in, right? If we're working in an independent way, well, we'll raise up some, but they'll be very independent Christians, right? So we need to realize, what is our view? What is our purpose? God has a purpose, right? He wants the church. Amen. We have a purpose. We want the church, Amen. Right? We're gaining these ones for the church life. One of the main aspects of the church life is the homes, right? Who's been in the homes of the saints? I think we've all had the experience of being in the homes of the saints. It says, we need many homes. Hallelujah, there's many homes. Many homes of the saints for the sake of coordination in the gospel work. Every college student needs a home to which he can bring his friends. And I just appreciate every student needs a home, right? On one hand, we all have a home where we live, but we need some home with some saints where we can take our friends. Sometimes we may think that if we go to a brother and want to come to his house, we're inconveniencing him. But I'd like to just dispel that a little bit. This is not true. You know, whenever saints come to my house, that instills meaning into my home. I realize if I haven't had some saints, especially some young burning students in my house for a couple weeks, it's not a happy place. I'm on the campus, so I still touch them, but my wife is not very happy. We realize, wow, without the church life in our home is devoid of meaning. But when we have the saints in our home, especially these students in our home, our life and our church life is full of meaning. So I would just encourage you all, you need a home, right? And the saints need you in their home. And in the home, I like this point very much. It says there should be a beautiful coordination between the student work and the church. This is not merely just carrying out some meetings in the home or these things, but there should be a beautiful coordination with the saints in the church, with the saints in the home, and with the students on the campus. So related to this point, I have a brother who'd like to share his experience having some beautiful coordination in the homes.
Hallelujah for the homes. I'm going to be a sophomore at UCLA, and a real big experience of my freshman year was just the impact of the homes. And something that even I've experienced a lot when people ask me and my companion when we go out on the gospel is, what is different about our club? You know, what's different about your club from, all these other Christian clubs on campus? And really, something that I've just enjoyed sharing is my experience in the homes. Because, I mean, so many students are really looking for care and shepherding, and really this is in the homes, the care of students and the care of even families in the area. So homes are very, very attractive to college students. And not only this, but even we see the church in the homes. Like even last night, the brother touched on, Saul saw that the church was in the home, so that's where he persecuted the church. But really, like there's so many other cases in, Acts 2, 5, and 8 where the church is just in the homes. But first, we need to be connected to the homes. I really enjoyed that, how every college student needs a home. We need a home. Amen. Brothers, we need to get connected to a home. Amen. In order so that we can bring our friends to the homes. But first, the main thing in a home is you need to be comfortable and connected with the saints there. If you're not comfortable in the home, why would you want to bring your friends there? If you're going to be out of place, by yourself, then I mean, it's exactly the same principle. If you're going to be independent, then they're going to be independent as well. If you're not going to be comfortable in a home, they're not going to be comfortable in a home. So, I mean, we really need to get connected and comfortable with the saints there. And something that I've really appreciated, that the home that I've been really connected to, what we do is
on Wednesday night. We usually meet on Friday night, but on Wednesday night, just a core group of us, about 10 to 12, we come together and we just have a sweet time of fellowship. We just eat dinner and we just pray. And really, and I remember, I really enjoyed what the brother said on blending. Blending is when, like, you just touch each other's mingled spirits. And I guess, and that's really been my experience on how you can just open up with these saints. You know, there's older saints, there's college students, you know, there's couples. But, you know, we're all in the one body of Christ. We're all in the one church. Amen. But we can all open up about certain matters. You know, if a brother is praying about his job, he just opens up. You know, if a sister's worried about one of her friends, they just open up and share about it. And then you just get connected. You really get, you get a feel for the other saints. You get their burdens. Their burdens become even to your burdens. They come on your heart. And eventually you start praying for them. This is really the aspect of the homes. It's getting connected with the saints, getting burdened for one another. And then, especially, you pray for certain ones. You pray for the ones you're burdened for. You know, if you're having a, you know, a gathering that Friday, you pray for that time. You know, if, you know, I'm bringing a new one, someone else is bringing a new one, you just pray for those. You pray that they would really enter into the enjoyment, enter into the really the sweet fellowship. And then what results is just this beautiful coordination. If the saints in a home, if the college students are connected with the older saints are connected with the college students, if there's this coordination, fellowship, prayer, then what results in the home is the same exact thing. And then so new ones are just so impressed with this that they see that, I mean, even though there's a huge age difference, there's just Christ. There's just a real expression. And you might bring someone into a home, but you know that, you know, someone else, they will care for them as well. You know, if you have to go do something else, boom, another brother or sister will step in and they will just care for them. They'll shepherd. They will meet their need. You know, there's really, each one has, each one of us here has a special portion, a special function in Christ. Amen. And we really need to use that and especially take advantage of this in the homes. Amen. So, and then when this happens, you know, all our friends will get shepherded and even hopefully enter into the body of Christ, because this really is the reality of the body. I remember we were enjoying in our home in John 12. And this is really where you see there's Lazarus, there's the Lord Jesus, there's Martha who's serving, there's Mary who just poured out her love offering on the Lord. And I remember one new one, he actually said, this is his words, you know, the reality of the church life is in the homes. This is his words. And that just really blew me away, just to see the homes are the reality of the church life. Amen. And we can bring our friends into this. Amen. But first, we need to be connected. You know, they're available. I really enjoyed that, what Brother Craig shared. You know, it's available. We just need to grasp onto it. Amen. If we don't grasp onto it, then we're not going to touch the riches of the homes. Amen. So maybe really be burdened and pray that we could get connected into the homes. Amen. Pray with these saints. Amen. Get built together with the body of Christ so that we can bring also our friends, our new ones, the ones we love, the ones we care for, into this reality, into this enjoyment, into the sweet body of Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? We have a beautiful coordination with the student work and the church. Not that one is separate than the other or competing with the other, but they're just side by side, enjoying the Lord, enjoying the reality of the body. Point number one says, the students need to consider the church in everything they do, scheduling their meetings around the meetings and services of the church, and keeping the church's service office informed concerning their activities on campus. And this considering is just to keep the saints in fellowship with whatever we're doing, right? The more the saints know, the more they will pray, right? And to have the saints praying for us is an awesome thing, right? As Sam said, when he goes to campus, they think he's a professor, right? When you go, there's no question, right? But you don't go by yourself, right? You go with all the saints praying for you. And also the next point, if there are any experienced brothers and sisters who can render the students help, it is best if the students refer their activities to these experienced ones for help, fellowship, and coordination. These experienced brothers and sisters will include the full-timers, right? Include the ones in your home that you're built up with. But I like this. We need to get help. We need to have fellowship, and we need to have coordination. On the one hand, we can't be independent, right? Doing our own thing and keeping it away. You know, I don't think my friends want to meet older people. Anyways, we have some funny concepts, but we don't want to keep it away from the church, right? But neither do we want to be ones who, when an older brother or sister or full-timer shows up, we just sit there and wait for them. What am I supposed to do? You tell me. You're the expert. It's your job, right? No. We need the help, right? But we need the fellowship. The fellowship is mutual, right? And we need the coordination. So I just really appreciate this. We have help, we have fellowship, and coordination. Not independence and not taking orders, right? We have this brings in a beautiful coordination. And lastly, we should bring our burden for the students to the church in order to stir up the whole church to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We need the whole church to pray. Amen. To pray for what we are doing. When the church picks up this burden, the church will be behind us and will be absolutely one with us in our burden. And I'd like to have John share his experience of this matter.
Amen. I just enjoy this point. The purpose of our labor on the campus is not merely to bring people to the Lord, but also to collect materials for the building up of the church.
Amen.
I'm going to be going into my fourth year, and I've just realized that there's a purpose of me being on campus. There's a purpose of the campus work.
Amen.
And that's not just for an individual gospel work, and not even for us to boast in a prevailing, a great club, right? But the purpose of us being on campus and having a campus work is for the church.
Amen.
And because of this, we need to have a beautiful coordination between the students and the church. And this has been an experience of the students, especially at UCLA. And as it was mentioned, when we have a burden, what do? We first bring it up to our companions, right? And then we bring it up to those in our homes. But our eventual goal is to bring them into the church, right? So what do we need to do? We need to bring up our burdens to the church.
Amen.
And what's the best way to do this? The best way is to bring it up to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the prayer meeting.
Amen.
The prayer meeting is just where the whole body is behind you, right?
Yeah.
The whole body is just one with the Lord to release the prayers.
Amen.
And something that how do we bring it up in the prayer meeting? Of course, we can bring it up. We bring up the events that we have on the campus events that we have, right? The Freshman Connect, home meeting, or we pray for those things. But we're not just on the campus for prevailing campus work, right? We're there for individuals.
Amen.
So what do? We make mention of the individuals.
Amen.
So something we've been doing at the prayer meeting in the last 5 minutes is that we would just reserve that time to make mention of the names. Romans 1:9 says, "For God is my witness,
Amen.
Whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son.
Amen.
How unceasingly I make mention
Amen.
Of you always in my prayers."
Amen.
So how do we make mention? It sounds so easy, right? What we would do is just, if I have a name of a friend or a gospel contact, I would just mention that name. I would say, I have a friend named Eric, right? And then the rest of the saints would just say, "Oh Lord Jesus, Eric."
Amen.
It just sounds so simple. We're just making mention of the names.
Yeah.
But you know, the Lord can do so much in that making mentioning.
Amen.
Because the saints throughout the week, they're going to remember those names.
Yeah.
They're going to be the ones praying for those, for your friends.
Amen.
And then when you do bring those friends to the home meetings, they've already been praying for those friends, and they already have such a heart for them, even before meeting them.
Amen.
So, amen.
Amen.
And I just want to mention some just personal experiences of how I was just touched with this, even making mention or opening it up to the saints in prayer. I would always just bring up some friends, especially to those in my home meeting. And then throughout the week, I've just seeing some, even the working ones, they would just remind me, "How are those your friends?" And then sometimes I would be like, "What friends?" Like, I would even forget about praying about those friends. And even the working ones would be the ones reminding me that I don't pray enough for my friends.
Amen.
And specifically, I have an older brother that I've just been, bringing up names to, especially the ones that I just meet on the campus. And throughout the week, he would just call me to just say, "Oh, let's pray for this brother."
Amen.
Even on Friday morning, he would text me, "How about you invite that brother to the home meeting?"
Amen.
You know what? I already forgot about inviting that brother, but after this brother reminding me,
yeah.
I was just so encouraged that I need to be those burden for my friends,
Amen.
Right? So when we bring up our burdens to the church, especially in the prayer meetings, the whole church is behind us.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, we need to go to the prayer meetings, right? One of the earlier points, we need to regularly attend the prayer meeting. Well, that's one reason we can pray for the whole move of the Lord on the earth.
Amen.
But also we get the saints to pray for our friends.
Amen.
And then when we go, we have the whole body behind us.
Amen.
This is so sweet. Maybe we can read the focus together. The nucleus of students who regularly pray and fellowship together should take the lead on their campus to collect materials for the building up of the church. Amen. So it's so wonderful. We're in the perfect place, right? We have all been placed on a college campus where there are thousands of young people, right, who the Lord is burdened for, right? He's burdened to save them. He's burdened to shepherd them. And He's burdened to add them to the church.